It's Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15. It says, He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. You may be seated. Today's message is a message, it's called Fishbein versus Hoxie. Anybody ever hear of Fishbein? Anybody ever hear of Hoxie? I never knew a thing about it. It was back in my days. It started before I was born, and it climaxed when I graduated from high school, so it was a long battle. I didn't know a thing about it. Of course, back then, you didn't have the internet like you do now. Now you find out instantaneously when something's going on. I must have been asleep when this battle took place, is all I can. Because I was alive when most of this battle happened. It lasted for over 25 years. And I was still not aware of it occurring. And I have found out in the last month, we've had a lot of people who've had cancer. And we prayed for these people. It's been marvelous, the result we've gotten from it. You know, eventually, you're going to die of something. You can't be healed all the time. You can't live to be 500 years anymore. So eventually, you'll get something that will have to take you out. But I'm going to explain to you what I think has happened in the medical world, and what some of the solutions are. This battle began before I was born, and it fought on when I was in elementary, middle, and high school. It was a major case, but I didn't learn of it until a couple months ago. The two men who fought against each other, Fishbein and Hoxie, were from different stocks. So you can put Hoxie's picture up there if you want. There's Hoxie's picture. Fishbein, you could guess, Fishbein was a Jew and Hoxie an Israelite. Fishbein flunked anatomy class. Remember the anatomy class? You had to learn all these parts of the body. It's quite a class. He flunked it in college. He never completed his internship class, and he never was a doctor. He never had one patient. You'll find out who Fishbein was in a little while. Now, Hoxie only went to the eighth grade when he dropped out of school. He then became a coal miner in the state of Illinois, where his grandfather had been a farmer. His grandfather had a stallion that was his favorite. It got cancer in its right hoof, and the veterinarian said it should be destroyed. Well, instead, John Hoxie, his grandfather, who happened to be a Quaker, decided to let his favorite horse go into the pasture. And instead of killing him, let him enjoy his final days. Well, the horse began to go into one area of the pasture, and he ate certain herbs that he had never eaten before. And as he watched him, it surprised him and everybody else. He got better and better. Soon the horse recovered completely, and the tumor went away. So the grandfather began to take notes, and when his horse was completely free of any cancer, he began to mix these herbs for the other animals. He used this information to develop a salve for the horses, for the animals, mostly horses, to save their lives from the torture of cancer and other diseases. He kept the formula a secret. But before his death, Hoxie entrusted his secret formula to his son, who also was named John. And John became a country doctor, and he also was a veterinarian. Now, when this son was on his deathbed, he told his son, whose name was Harry, about the salve and pills, which he then used in his veterinarian practice, and asked him if he wanted to be a veterinarian or a doctor too. He explained to his son that he began to use it on people with great success. So he asked his son, who was named Harry, if he wanted the secret formula. And he answered, yes. So his father gave him the formulas. Now, the way it was done, he asked his son to write the formulas over and over again. He had a liquid, a salve, and he had a powder. He filled three notebooks. He wrote it over and over and over again. So that one night, he wrote them over and over and over, till he finished learning them. For the next morning, his father burned all the papers. And soon after, he died. Before he gave his son the formulas, he made his son promise that he would make this formula available to anyone, regardless of the cost. So that was very good. So after his father died, Harry, in 1922, that's 20 years before I was born, opened his first clinic in Taylorville, State, Illinois. He was having success in curing cancer. But he was hounded and arrested many times for practicing medicine without a license. But before we go on, let's get some more background. William Avery Rockefeller, you can put his picture up there. There he is. He's the father of the more famous or infamous John Davidson Rockefeller. He was quite a man. William had eight children and three wives. And after he was inducted for rape in 1849, he changed his name to Dr. Bill Livingston, celebrated cancer specialist. Well, besides being never a doctor, and he wasn't celebrated, and he wasn't a cancer specialist, I guess the name is all right, he was the best snake oil salesman of 19th century America. He sold his bottle of tonic for $25 a bottle. It was a mixture of a laxative and petroleum. $25 a bottle. Remember, the Rockefellers got into the oil business. $25 a bottle was 2 months' salary for the average American at that time. But Dr. Bill didn't have to worry about the reaction of his customers. Why? Because he didn't stay in town very long. He also was known as Devil Bill, and he made his living out of lies and deceit. Well, one of his sons, John, learned his lessons well from his father. He used the lies and deceits with another snake oil. It wasn't one to cure cancer, but it was called petroleum. John lied constantly to get the new horseless carriages, that's the cars, to use gasoline derived from petroleum. I was shocked to find this out. But electricity and fermented vegetables were soon discarded from the use in the automobile. And eventually gasoline became the main choice of the drivers because of all their lies and deceits. All civilized countries now use petroleum products in big agra for fertilizers, big pharma for drugs, big food for additives, big plastics for plastic goods and packaging, big tires for the multitude of billions of tires. Besides big automobile plants that burn all the gasoline in their cars and trucks. Petroleum is a major, major product. All the valuable substitutes for oil have been suppressed by the snake oil salesman, by their Washington lobbyist. Here's something I didn't know. A consortium of General Motors, Firestone Tire, and Phillips Petroleum, along with Rockefeller's Standard Oil, made up a joint company that bought up and dismantled the trolley cars in 45 American cities, including New York, Los Angeles, Detroit, St. Louis, and probably, I don't know, but maybe Cincinnati too, I don't know. That made the automobile king. William Avery Rockefeller would no doubt approve the lies and deceit of these modern snake oil salesmen. They followed his tactics just like he did. During his days as Devil Bill, he began to bottle the raw petroleum and palm it off under various names as a cure for the popular maladies of the day, such as liver complaint, cholera, consumption, and bronchitis, as well as cancer. The bottle of snake oil that they sold cost the druggist only 21 cents for a bottle, and Standard Oil only 1/5 of a cent to make it. What a gigantic profit. It wasn't until 1939, that's 3 years before I was born, that the drug business began to assume the present gigantic proportion, which today makes $10 billion a year business. It didn't matter to the Rockefellers that their father's snake oil was discovered by physicians to be harmful, as it robbed the body of soluble vitamins and caused serious deficiency diseases. It made them money, and that was all that counted. It didn't matter that it hurt more people than it helped. So we got Rockefeller's thing going on here. I think it's very ironic that his father was a quack, sold snake oil. Now, so we got Hoxie. His grandfather found this salve from his horse. His horse came, he was supposed to, the vet said, kill it. It's got a bad cancer in his foot. And it was healed. And he watched it, and he put the salve together, and he was healing people. Now we got another group, the American Medical Association. It started in what year, Randa? 1849. Very good. Dr. George H. Simmons became the head of the AMA in 1899. It was a very weak organization with little money and little respect from the general public. The AMA realized that competition was causing physicians' income to dwindle, as the number of medical schools had increased from around 90 in the year 1880 to over 150 in the year 1903. Chiropractic had just been introduced into the mainstream. Homeopathy was thriving. Herbalists were flourishing. And all the while, regular doctors were unable to profit from their medical practices. I see a battle between these two groups. Simmons was shrewd enough to have the AMA, this is very important, I get. Simmons was shrewd enough to have the AMA establish a Council on Medical Education in the year 1904. The council devised a plan to rank medical schools that favored the allopathy schools and downgraded the homeopathy schools. Thank you very much. However, by 1910, the AMA was out of money and didn't have the funds to complete the project. Where do you think they got their funds from? Rockefeller and Carnegie joined with the AMA and provided them with the money to complete the job they had started. Simon Flexner, he comes onto the scene, who was on the board of directors for the Rockefeller Institute, proposed that his brother, now that's his brother, Abraham, who was on the staff of the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. By the way, Abraham knew absolutely nothing about medicine. He was an educator. He'd be put on the Board of Medical Education. With practically unlimited funds, it became predictable that the homeopathy colleges, even the large and respected ones, would eventually be forced to stop teaching homeopathy or die. And that is exactly what happened before I was born. It was exactly the same thing the Rockefellers did to what else? The Christian religion. They took over the seminaries and changed that religion so that today it's almost 180 degrees different from what it used to be. They wrote books, Scofield Bible, Rapture books, books on universalism, and they put money in the churches that taught what they wanted and fought against churches that they did not agree with. It's the very same manner they took over the medical schools. Carnegie and Rockefeller commenced a major upgrade in medical education by financing only those medical schools that instructed in what they wanted taught. In other words, they began to immediately shower hundreds of millions of dollars on these medical schools that were teaching drug-intensive medicine. The purpose was to dominate the oil and chemical markets. And the Flexner brothers, and there's Abraham up there, report gave both of these tycoons the ammunition they needed to achieve the gold. In the end, the Rockefeller-Carnegie plan was a smashing success. These medical schools that did not conform were denied the funds and the prestige that came with those funds, and they were forced out of business. By 1925, over 10,000 herbalists were out of business. By the time I was born, 1,500 chiropractors would be prosecuted for practicing crackery. The 22 homeopathic medical schools that flourished in 1900 dwindled to just two in the year 1923. By the time I was 8 years old, all schools teaching homeopathy were closed. In the end, the physician did not graduate from a Flexner-approved medical school. He couldn't find a job. And I was 8 years old, and there's no more homeopathy doctors to go to. This is why today our doctors are so heavily biased towards synthetic drug therapy and know very little about nutrition. In fact, I heard a guy say, the physician's wife knows more about nutrition than he does. This is why today our doctors can perform surgeries, give out drugs or radiation, but know little of what our God gave to us, the herbs and other remedies for disease. And it doesn't matter what the facts are. There was the infamous Spanish flu that occurred in the United States in the year 1918 and 1919. The homeopathy lost only 0.7% of their patients, where the allopathic lost 30% of theirs. It doesn't matter if you say that you can cure any disease. You are in competition with the allopathic doctors. Now we come to Morris Fishbein. By 1924, one of the AMA directors became involved in a scandal, and he had to resign. He appointed a man to take his place. Who? Morris Fishbein. Now, there's a picture of him on Time magazine. He took over as the control of the AMA, and by the year 1934, he assumed dictatorial control of the state licensing boards. What? Dictator control of the state licensing boards. And made it as difficult as he could for any doctor who did not join. He and the three doctors who formed the corporation were little more than extortionists who made millions of dollars by using the power of the state. The AMA, which started out as a legitimate organization, became a crooked one. And Morris Fishbein was the main cause. Fishbein and the Standard Oil Company, that's Rockefeller, became impressed with the methods of the big packing houses, which used, processed, and sold every part of the hog but the squeal. Homeopathic and allopathic were in a major battle in the early 1900s. Allopathic physicians would let blood. What's that mean? They let the blood out of the person. That's the way George Washington died. They let his blood out. They performed surgeries. Who were the first surgeons in America? The barbers. They began to formulate petroleum-based drugs to give to their patients. Homeopathic physicians gave herbs and other natural remedies to cure all health-related problems. Now, we got Rockefeller and Carnegie's picture up there. There is John Rockefeller, and, yeah, put next to him. There's Andrew Carnegie. These guys were enemies of America. They're not our heroes. Rockefeller wanted the petroleum drugs to win out. Homeopathic doctors wanted their methods to win. What did Fishbein do? Fishbein became the head of the American Medical Association. He was the editor of their journal. You probably read the journal all the time. He used the AMA to manipulate the minds of the American people, to manipulate the minds of the American people to think the way of the allopathic doctors, and strictly prohibited the use of herbs and other natural remedies to cure all of America's health problems. Fishbein was also the head of the AMA Journal, the magazine of America's doctors. They published facts that weren't facts at all. And then they published false statistics to prove themselves correct. Pretty good way of doing things. They were only exposed when the doctors and physicians from other parts of the world visited the United States and saw the true health care conditions that prevailed there. They also found that the medicines prescribed by the physicians, and which had the seal of acceptance by the association, contained mercury poisoning. The effect of the use of such highly toxic medicines could be seen as many people had shallow skin, sunken eyes, crooked teeth and jaws. If you don't believe that, this is still done in vaccines and the flu shot. The propaganda of the association still continues to be published through its journal. The medicine field of America has been flooded with a tsunami of criminal conspiracy. The AMA passes all the drugs and medicines without testing them and puts its seal of acceptance on receiving a good amount of money from the owners of the company. They just publish things to manipulate the minds of the people and prevent them from using the natural herbs and remedies that will benefit their health at a very minimal price. The AMA created the Department of Investigation to hunt down doctors still using natural remedies. The department's sole job was to shut down any healers who could threaten AMA prophets. Well, the Bible says what? The love of money is the root of all evil. The AMA's thug department actually kept files on anyone who was cured of cancer. They also kept files on health foods, vitamins, acupuncture, and faith healings. Now, the head of the AMA was Morris Fishbein, who was a Jew, who was a criminal, and an extortionist. And if you did not pay him large sums of money for the AMA seal of acceptance, you simply could not survive in the medical field. Fishbein was the ultimate scam artist. The AMA never had any of the facilities to test any of the drugs on which they put their seal of acceptance on. So it was all a huge scam. Here's a shocking bit of information. I'm going to tell you what happened. Fishbein also had attacks against other physicians who used other alternate methods to cure cancer and other ailments. He had already begun to destroy, anybody ever hear of Royal Raymond Rife? He's another one he went after, and his healing methods. As Fishbein was in the process of destroying Rife, Hoxie gained an increasing amount of patients. Hoxie went from 300 patients a day in the late 1920s to 12,000 patients a day in the late 1940s. But it was in 1924, here's where the big event happened, that Hoxie met with the head of the AMA and editor of the AMA's medical journal. His name? Morris Fishbein. Hoxie and Fishbein meet. And he met to prove the efficiency of his treatment. He was given access to a Chicago policeman. His name was Sergeant Thomas Mannix, M-A-N-I-X, whose cancer prognosis was labeled terminal. So Hoxie put his ointment, gave him the tonic that was given him by his father, and the policeman was completely cured. This is a documented medical fact. The policeman lived for another 10 years. Now, the doctors had said it was terminal. Fishbein and his associates were impressed. What did they do? They offered to buy the formula from Hoxie. But Hoxie disagreed with their terms. Remember, he promised his father on his deathbed, this is going to be available to anybody. If they don't have the money, they still get it anyway. The group of men, including Fishbein, would receive all the revenues for the first several years. There was no guarantee that everyone would be able to have access to the formula. And Hoxie would be completely out of the loop with no control. You think Hoxie agreed to this or did he disagree? Well, Hoxie was a very confrontational person. He had to keep the word to his father. So Hoxie refused to hand over the formula. He had to have a proposal that would guarantee what he had promised to his father on his deathbed. We think this caused a major war. The medical establishment began their campaign to destroy Hoxie. For if they could not own the formula themselves, so battles going. AMA against Hoxie. Very interesting, the AMA wanted to buy it. They couldn't have it, so they're going to destroy it. In the year 1936, 12 years later, Hoxie established the largest independent clinic in the county of, you know what state it was in? Dallas, Texas. And there he was met with another enemy. The assistant district attorney, Al Templeton. He arrested Hoxie over 100 times in 2 years. Now, Hoxie had invested in oil wells. He had all this money from the oil wells. So he's a very rich man. He would carry $10,000 in cash on him. So when he'd arrest him, he'd go down to jail and he'd just bail himself out. But charges were always dropped as no one would testify against Hoxie. There were too many patients who were very happy with the treatment they had received from him. Now, there's a few times where Hoxie let them put him in jail. What happened? After a couple of days, the jail was surrounded by his patients who were singing hymns. Tells you they were Christian patients. And carrying fried chicken and pie. The jail couldn't have this going on. It was too embarrassing. So they let him go. Al Templeton, he was the guy who was arresting him all this time. He continued harassing Hoxie until his brother, Mike Templeton, was diagnosed as having incurable cancer by the conventional allopathic doctors. Mike sneaked into the clinic to receive Hoxie's treatments. He was cured. Al properly credited his brother's cure to Hoxie's treatment. And he had a change of heart. He then became Hoxie's lawyer. And soon he was elected as the district judge. So now the battles get really exciting. When I was 7 years old, that's 1949, Morris Fishbein wrote a piece on Hoxie that was featured in the Hearst Papers Sunday magazine that was available to only 20 million readers. The article was titled, Blood Money. It was full of character assassination that Fishbein had spewed endlessly in the journal of the AMA over the previous years. Hoxie fired back to the public on the radio, in films, and with a public demonstration. He also wrote a book. The book is entitled... Anybody know the name of the book? You Don't Have to Die. There were senators and representatives and judges that had been cured by Hoxie's treatment, as well as a host of others. It was a major battle. The AMA used its power against the homeopathic naturalists and chiropractic doctors that used herbs and other ointments to cure their patients of disease. The AMA calls all these people quacks, no matter if they cured a disease or didn't cure a disease. Well, Hoxie got so irritated by that article that he sued the Hearst newspaper empire. He sued Morris Fishbein and the AMA Journal for slander and libel. The nation listened to the court case intently. Who do you think won the court case? Hoxie won. One of the few people ever beat him. The ruling was that both Hearst, that's the newspaper, and Fishbein were guilty of libel and slander. Hoxie had paraded over 50 cured cancer patients into the courtroom. along with the testimony from other supporters. The judge, whose name was W.I. Thornton, said, and I'm quoting what he said, "I am of the opinion and belief that Hoxie has cured these people of cancer. I believe their testimony. Hoxie has been done a great injustice. And articles and utterances by Defendant Morris Fishbein were false, slanderous, and libelous." Fishbein was embarrassed. The trial revealed that he had flunked anatomy in college. It's right there in the trial. And that he had never practiced medicine. And Fishbein also admitted that the external salve Hoxie used was actually effective in curing cancer. These, after years of propagandizing the salve as worthless and dangerous, it was proved a worthless, lying argument. The U.S. Supreme Court also upheld the decision, ruling that the AMA had used restrictive trade techniques. The ensuing publicity aroused a public outcry against the AMA in the early 1950s. The AMA was considered by many as nothing better than a trade union that would not tolerate competition. Here's something very interesting. Under Fishbein's direction, the AMA used surgery, radiation, and synthetic drugs, along with a sprawling high-tech hospital system. The competition of medicine throttled what? Diversity. That's what they all claim. Diversity is so great, which they called quackery. In 1953, Congress determined that the Hoxie treatment, this is the U.S. Congress, and 12 other alternate treatments were actively conspired against by organized medicine. It's 1953. Morris Fishbein was forced to resign from his long tenure as head of the AMA. That's what they ought to do with the head of the Fast and Furious. What's his name?
Eric Holder.
Yeah, Eric Holder. Well, that's 1953. It seems like the organized medicine lost. But the AMA was not going to quit. They got another organization. What organization was that? The Food and Drug Organization to do their bidding. The FDA pursued a long campaign of harassing not only Hoxie, but also his patients. Finally, the FDA closed and padlocked all 17 of Hoxie's clinics. He had 17 clinics all across the nation. They closed and padlocked. It sounds like what happened to Pastor Ramsey's church. They padlocked his church. On the same day in 1960, the year of my graduation from high school, I found this little notice here. Public beware, warning against the Hoxie cancer treatment. Sufferers from cancer, their families, physicians, and all concerned with the care of cancer patients are hereby advised and warned that the Hoxie treatment for internal cancer has been found worthless by two federal courts. The Hoxie treatment costs $400 plus $60 in additional fees, expenditures which will yield nothing of value in the cure of cancer. It consists essentially of simple drugs which are worthless for treating cancer. The Food and Drug Administration conducted a thorough investigation of the Hoxie treatment, and the cases were claimed to be cured. Not a single verified cure of internal cancer by this treatment has been found. Then down here it says, those affected with cancer are warned not to be misled by the false promise that the Hoxha cancer treatment will cure or alleviate their condition. Get this. Cancer can be cured only through surgery or radiation. How could that cure cancer? That could stop its growth, but it can't cure it. Death from cancer is inevitable when cancer patients fail to obtain proper medical treatment because of the lure of a painless cure without the use of surgery, x-ray, or radium, as claimed by Hoxha. Then it says down here, anyone planning to try this treatment should get the facts about it. And down here it says, for further information, write to the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, Food and Drug Administration, Washington, D.C. Well, all his clinics were closed. But Hoxha came up with a plan. He urged his head nurse, whose name was Mildred Nelson, who once was very skeptical of his treatments, but who became a strong believer in them when she saw that it actually did cure cancer. He asked her if she would run the new facility in Mexico. So she said yes, and she relocated his facility in Tijuana, Mexico. The clinic's still there. The name was changed because of all the bother with the AMA and the FDA and all that stuff. It was changed to the Biomedical Center, and it still cures about 80% of the patients from cancer. And that's the constant rate, 80%. Doesn't cure everybody, but it cures 80%. In 1960, the AMA also put an end to Rice's cure for cancer. He used waves. He died an alcoholic. They pulled the licenses of all the doctors who supported Hoxha and or Rife and all the others. We are 80 years behind where we should be because of one despisable man, Morris Fishbein, who used the state to halt the advance of medicine and to line his own pockets. Now, my question is, what is the insignia of the Medical Profession Association? Oh, one, two, what? Two snakes entwined on a staff. Is that a Christian insignia? It's the caduceus. What's the caduceus? It's the mythological symbol of the Roman god Mercury. He was the patron of messengers. But he also had a somewhat unsavory reputation as the associate of outlaws, thieves, and merchants. In the ancient world, merchants were synonymous with outlaws and thieves. Well, what's the insignia of the AMA? Oh. They went from what? Two snakes down to one snake. American Medical Association. And I've got a modern one now of the AMA. They still got one spike and they got one snake. See the eyeball up there? The University of Rochester, deciding that the two snakes were excessive, recently reduced the two snakes down to one snake. And this is the insignia today. Now, what's the conclusion of all this? Senators, judges, lawyers, and some doctors endorsed Hoxha's cancer treatment, along with hundreds of patient supporters, once seriously ill with cancer, testified that they owed their lives and continued health to him and his infamous treatments. Hoxha's larger-than-life personality, unfortunately, fit the stereotypical image of a quack, coupled with a confrontational style, set him head-on to clash with the medical authorities for decades. Perhaps being caught up in the swinging pendulum of the medical focus of the day is what began the swing away from herbal medicine to pharmaceuticals. After all the bitter opposition by the medical establishment of the day, and after all the invitations, Hoxie invited the AMA to come in. There's never been one study of his formula ever conducted by the AMA. I'm going to give you his 10 herbal ingredients that's listed on the label of his tonic. Red clover, burdock root, what's that, stellignia root, barberry root, licorice. That was put in to bind some of these up. Poke root, cascara, armiga, prickly ash bark, buckthorn bark, and potassium iodide. Maybe some of you people who understand what some of these herbs are can maybe go with it and study it. In the year 1900, one out of 20 people in America had cancer. By 1940, it had increased to one out of 16. By 1917, it had increased to one out of 10. Now it's one out of three. One out of three. In that short time in history, 100 years, the amount of cancer has grown to almost seven times as much as it has been. Over 500,000 Americans die from cancer each year. Today, the modern doctors perform surgeries, radiate, and rapidly give their patients petroleum cancer pills. And you know what those pills do. Lose your hair, nauseous, and everything else. They heal very few of their patients. Some of their practices even give the patient cancer. What about our God? God's plan for the healing of his covenant people is very seldom ever searched for. Many so-called Christians don't even know that he has one. God provided herbs for the service of man, not petroleum drugs. He also gave his covenant people wine, oil, and bread for his health. Well, that's good wine, that's essential oils, and that's good bread, not mixed up bread like it is now. As well as a lot of things that he could do to what? Improve his immune system. Not cut off part of his body to prevent ever getting cancer, like that one movie star, cut off her breast so she'd never get breast cancer. Or burn it with radiation or poison it with a synthetic pill. What about prayer? And the anointing of oil by the church elders for sick members of his church. Isn't that saying the Bible would do that? Yes. What about prayer made by God's people daily for sick people that they know of? Anybody ever ask you to pray for them? They got a serious illness? What about proper breastfeeding and the weaning of a child? I think very few people ever do that. Acceptable diet for his people to eat or not eat to prevent or heal his people. That's important. And different things they can do for a good and sound mind. Just like Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart, but a broken spirit will dry up your bones. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning. But fools despise his wisdom and instruction. May we have some of our people begin or to continue to study and learn about what our God says about how to prevent illness from entering our bodies and to heal our bodies. If we don't keep God's laws, we will be sick and we'll contact all the diseases of Egypt that we feared no matter what. I'm going to read you these verses, Deuteronomy 28, 58 through 61. Listen to what it says. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of the seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and long continuance. This is Moses telling the Israel people after the Exodus. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of. And they shall do what? Cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. It's part of God's curse. Now the church that Joyce and I went into said God's law was nailed to his cross. They teach God's people to keep his law. They said it was done away with. Our God has in the past intervened and healed his people miraculously. Anybody know of anybody who was miraculously healed by Almighty God? I know. I myself was. That night in the hospital, I know I was healed. I told him I was healed. Let me out of this place. I'm healed. I proved I was healed. I walked all over the place. The guy said he never saw anybody walk in the ICU unit. Was ICU unit? It was from the prayers of the people. He has given a few of his people the knowledge of essential oil, like thieves oil, lemon oil, peppermint oil, which have helped his people. There are others who have been saved from their illnesses by prayer, by anointing, or simply by God's power. Anyway, God is the healer. And there was the guy in the scripture who was blind. He didn't do anything to cause his blindness. Why am I blind, Lord? To show forth the power of Almighty God. He put there, he spit on some mud, he made some clay, stuck it in his eyes, and he began to see. You know, anybody ever see the video of the man who was born with no arms and no legs? Anybody see that person? He's incredible. And that's the verse he uses. When that verse, he read that verse, he knew what his job was. He's got no legs and no arms. You say, well, how does he live? He's now married. I think he has a boy. He's got a boy who was born normal. The guy's an amazing person. He speaks. He has spoken all over the world. He has reached millions of people. The question was to him, do you want to go back? Would you rather be born a normal person? Oh, no. This is the job that my father gave to me. For being born this way and overcoming everything, I have all these millions of people he speaks to. He was in a huge stadium. There's been 100,000 people there he's talking to. It'd be fabulous. We get someone from our ministry who would be really a healer of our people. You read the Bible. God said, you put this on your body, you're going to be healed. But there reaches a time when you get so old, you can't be cured of everything. But I think God wants us to spend the majority of our life in a good, healthy situation. And you just lay down one night, you go to sleep, and you die. That would be the most fabulous thing to happen. Instead of being in a hospital, and they dumb you up with drugs, and then you die away. Terrible. Well, it's the love of money against the real medicine. And some of these alternative methods were quackery. like William Roosevelt had, a laxative in petroleum. It was quackery. They took 2 months' salary to buy it, and they suffered hurt from it. But see, you get two main views, right? The good and the evil. It's true in everything. You have to decide which one is the right one. Well, how are you supposed to know? The Spirit will tell. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.